Oh, you're
gonna
go say
no? Wait, we are drunk.
21.
Where's 21 now? Where's my gin and tonic?
Oh my goodness. That was Carol the Cat.
Yeah.
Tenacious T.
Hello.
Joey the Giddy Geeka.
What?
Matt Starnslord. And oh my gosh, we've got two guests. This is insane. Shelton Drum from Heroes Aren't Hard to Find. And Heroes Con.
Yay! Yay!
Before we guys talk, we're going to go right into our rapid fire response round. I'm going to start asking you guys a series of questions where you would either need to give us a short word or answer. Please do not think about it. All right. So, Sean, which is more badass, Mr. T or Optimus Prime?
Mr. T, because he's real.
Shelton, DC or Marvel or Indie?
Marvel.
Unicorn or Pegasus?
Pegasus.
Who is the best Monty Python?
I didn't see any of them.
Best kids in the hall, writing, performing, and overall? That's a three-part question.
Oh, writing is Kevin MacDonald, performing is Mark McKinney, and overall is Bruce McCullough.
I'm out of water.
What's your favorite comic catchphrase?
Oh, gosh. It's clobbering time.
Oh, cool. Are you Robo Field?
No, I'm not. I don't know who it is either. Sorry, Field. I don't know who Robo Field is.
Okay, Lee Field or McFarlane?
Oh, McFarlane. All
okay. Day. Capes or no capes?
No capes.
Whalers or Red Sox?
Oh, wow. Somebody did their research. Red Sox. Red Sox.
Okay. Sean, again to you. Number one TV show you deny you're watching.
That sounds like a Graham Odom question. Is that who wrote that question?
Probably.
the one that I'm not watching, like the my.
No, deny you're watching.
That I'm watching it, but I say that I'm not watching it. I don't have a show.
Is
like
that Real Housewives? I totally see you. What's the single issue comic you can't live without?
Spider-Man 121.
Okay.
Which one is that?
Death of Gwen Stacy.
Oh, that is a good one.
Okay.
I've been crying for 40 years.
Me too, but for other reasons.
Favorite superhero movie, Sean?
The Avengers, the first one, because it was such a high wire act and they nailed it.
Same question.
First Iron Man.
Yes. Yes.
Very good.
Okay. If you could be on stage, which would you prefer, perfect jokes or complete honesty?
Perfect jokes.
All right. Are you a geek, nerd, dork, or other?
Other, I think.
Which would you rather have to deal with, a rude fanboy talking or a rude director?
I have to deal with rude directors every day, so I'll go rude fanboy.
Okay, same for you, Sean. Shag, marry, or kill, Adidas, Puma, or K-Swiss?
Oh, wow, somebody really is doing their research here. Okay, yes. You marry Adidas, you fuck Puma.
This is not a visual podcast.
No, I understand that. And you kill K-Swiss.
Okay. So are you into magic mysticism or science?
Science all day.
Okay. Mary Jane or Gwen Stacy? I'm guessing I know the answer.
That's a tough one.
Yeah, it is a tough one. I guess Gwen.
I was going to say, if you got your number one comic. Okay. Sean,
But Mary Jane's on my front door, so.
Okay.
Yes.
I was kind of like, yeah. Okay. So what's the approximate chuckage that a woodchuck chucks?
42.
Sounds like a good number to me. Jada wants to know, from Con Carolina, wants to know if you got her email. She asked me to ask that.
I'm sure it's in there somewhere.
This time of year.
Okay. The following questions are for both of you, so think about it. I'm going to give it to Sean first, so Shelton, you have a chance to think about it. If you're on a desert island with a tablet with a solar recharger, what would be your number one book that you would download?
Good Omens.
Good answer.
Oh, gosh.
Give me a comic book, too.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I guess Marvel Masterworks Volume 1.
There you go. Okay. Song or album? And don't wait. Just album, because Tanya actually picks song. Gives us a song. Just album.
I would go with Beastie Boys' Check Your Head.
Oh. Okay. Album?
My Name is Buddy. Okay. Ry Cooter.
Okay.
Nice answer.
Movie that you would watch over and over again?
It's the movie that I've watched all the time for years and years. It's the first Die Hard.
Okay.
The Man Who Would Be King.
Ooh.
Ooh. And game. It can be a video game or something you can play on your tablet.
Jeez. I don't play many games anymore. You know what? Shadows of the Empire for Nintendo 64. That's the last game.
Wow.
That's the game that made me stop playing video games altogether because I literally stopped doing every other thing that I had to be doing. And I was an adult. Like, I wasn't a kid.
I had the same experience. I was playing basically like blackjack in this room, and it was 4 in the morning. I was like, I've been playing this for 5 hours.
Yeah.
I'm playing a game inside of that game.
So, yeah.
Anyway,
I couldn't. I was after that, I was done.
Yeah.
Shelton, what game would you upload to your tablet?
I don't have a tablet. I never played a game on a computer. I would say Ultimate Frisbee.
You're on a desert island. It gets too far in the water, though. You're cut out. Somebody said a deck of playing cards, though. And I can see where that would be totally handy on an island.
Absolutely.
Many options.
Oh, absolutely.
Hard to get downloaded from your tablet,
oh, right.
But
we're
still work.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
We need a team.
So Sean Keenan, who the heck?
I am the founder of Robot Johnson. And actually, I have my own podcast, too, the Hero Movie Podcast, where every Monday morning a new episode is uploaded, where we review a movie, a superhero, either movie or television show. And I'm guessing that it's the Robot Johnson that got me here, though. and I started this group about 8 years ago because I had come from another group. And I'd gotten a certain level of success, and a guy who worked at Spirit Square asked me if I wanted to start another group, and I did not. I said absolutely not, but they just kept sweetening the deal and sweetening the deal, and then I was like, you know what? Then let's do it. And I just got all my friends together, and we started Robot Johnson, and I figured that if everything works perfectly, that the show would be able to run itself. And at this point, that's where we're at. I mean, I've done one show this year, and that's great.
I heard you were Robot Johnson, kind of like the Hootie of Hootie and the Blowfish.
That was my nickname at work forever, because for years and years I work in production, TV and movie production. And it's a really high stress environment. And I never cracked, ever, ever. And so the nickname started as like the people would start calling me Robot, and then it became from the nickname, as that happens sometimes, I became Robot Johnson. And then over time, as I got older, that stopped happening so much. Because I would get angrier and angrier and angrier over time. I thought that was supposed to die down, but it didn't. And so people stopped calling me that. I was like, you know what? If we're going to start this new group, I don't want to call it my name, because they wanted me to call it like the Sean Keenan Show or something. And it held no appeal to me at all. I was like, but why don't we just call it my nickname? And the folks at Spirit Square were like, that's great. And I asked the group, and the group said, that's fine by us, let's call it that. And so that's how the name came to be.
Mm-hmm. Works out pretty
good
well
name.
Shelton, who the hell are you?
We
know, but tell us anyway.
I guess Charlotte's a kind of original comic book collector, fan, promoter. I've been in Charlotte since 1972 when I went to UNC Charlotte, and stuck up a couple of postcards about buying comics and met a few people. And you know, it's just an evolution. Went to flea markets, started setting up at the flea market. Took that group of people that I met there that were interested in comics and took them to the Eastland Mall for a comic book convention. we did that every 3 or 4 months instead of the flea market for a couple of years. And,
so that's what happened at Eastland Mall. Yeah. Invested with comic book nerds.
We were at Eastland Mall, and Eastland Mall was a jewel of
right.
Charlotte.
Yeah.
I mean, it was
so
amazing. It
was amazing at one point.
Yeah. They had a great community room. It was about, 4,000 or 5,000 square feet, I guess. And we could get 25 tables of comics in there and, you know, 500 people and just have a big time. So, you know, I did that for a few years and started doing shows around the country and accumulating more comics and getting more interested in doing that every day. And I finally was talked into opening a store by 1980. And that grew into 6 stores at one time.
Really?
Yeah.
During, I didn't know.
During the mid to late 80s and into the early 90s. There was about 10 years there where I had at least 3 or 4 stores.
Wow. How far out was the radius?
See, I went from Charlotte to Winston and then opened Greenville, South Carolina, and then Spartanburg and Charleston, Chapel Hill for a while. And then I got crazy and opened one in Jacksonville, Florida. and then the industry crashed in the mid-90s.
Right.
And it was pretty tough to make it in the business at all. And I didn't close any of those stores. I actually sold them or just turned them over to either one of my employees or a customer or a competitor. And all those stores are still working.
Really?
In the same spots.
Wow.
Which is kind of cool.
That is cool. You made a legacy.
They survived. Some of them have been sold once or twice since, but there's still a store like in that spot.
Wow. You know?
Location.
Yeah, but I wised up and sold that. Winston-Salem was the last store I sold and the first one I opened besides Charlotte. So I finally sold Winston-Salem in 97 and concentrated on the one store, and then we moved it in 2002 to where it is now on 7th Street and kind of built out the store that I'd always dreamed that I could have or should have, wanted to have.
It is the most amazing comic book store I've ever been in.
Thank you. Yeah. Even when I was in high school, I was dreaming about having thousands of comic books in bins in order where somebody come in and ask for anything, I could just go pluck it out, you know? And, you concentrate on things and they'll eventually manifest.
And then from there, Heroes Con started.
Yeah, the mini con evolved into a 2-day show in '82. Changed the name to Heroes Convention, and it grew pretty quickly. We had Stan Lee there the third year, and that kind of put us on the map. And then we had a lot of people coming every year, and we're using 200,000 square feet in the convention center this year. And I think that first year was.
And that's packed. I mean, that place is packed.
Yeah, that's not 2,000 just, you know, hastily.
Well, you know, this is the third year we've been in the full 2 halls. And the first year we had a lot of room. Last year was like, oh, this feels pretty good. You know, we're kind of
filling out.
Kind of about right. And this year it's like, we need more space.
Wow,
we don't
really
have enough artist tables. We don't have enough booths. Where are we going to put Stan Lee's queue line?
Right.
That's its own little entity.
How did you start your relationship with Stan Lee? Because Stan Lee just doesn't show up when people ask him to show up.
Well, I met Stan actually in 1973.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to be a comic artist, and I figured the best way to do that was just go to New York and say, I want to be a comic artist. And I just went to Marvel Comics and said, hi, I'm Sheldon Drum. I'm from North Carolina, and I like to draw comic books. Are you crazy?
Come on in. Here's the desk.
But
we've been waiting for you. It's right here. Yeah.
The receptionist took pity on me, and she said, let me go check. And I disappeared from there.
Are we hiring?
She came back and said, well, we don't normally do, you know, tours without appointments or whatever, but since Stan's my dad, come on, I'll show you.
Wow.
And so she took me in and met him, and I, you know, got 5 minutes with him, which is kind of cool.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then he said, but if you want to be an artist, you need to talk to my art director, John Romita.
Oh, man. Come on.
Sure. And,
why not?
My guy, you know.
Sure. Sure.
And how old were you at this point?
19.
Wow.
Not old enough to know better, apparently.
Wow, that's so great.
But you know, sometimes not knowing better is exactly why what you need to do.
Absolutely.
If you know better, then you're not going to do it.
John Romita was the nicest guy. And he spent 45 minutes with me.
Oh, my God.
Showing me the ropes of how you make submissions and showing me the closet full of submissions that were so far above what I could do. And they were never going to get jobs.
Wow.
But, you know, he showed me around the bullpen, you know, Roy Thomas and I guess probably Marv Wolfman and a couple other writers were in a room
talking about stuff. It's a murderer's row. Come on in!
Jim Starlin was in the bullpen finishing up the cover for Master Kung Fu 17.
Oh, my gosh!
They gave me a big stack of comics to leave with.
Oh, man. Come on!
So I came home and just went nuts drawing for like 6 months. And I was like, I'm not there. This is not happening.
You know? Right.
But I always loved comics, and I knew I was going to be doing something with them. And I guess that just showed me that I was supposed to be a retailer. I'm not a creator.
But having that gumption to walk in, that's like you need that in this business.
I've never really not tried something if I thought I wanted to do it, you know?
Yeah.
You don't want to have regrets.
And speaking of no regrets, people are going to regret it if they don't go to this year's Heroes Con, which is what weekend?
That is a great segue.
Isn't that good?
That is how you do it. That is how you do it.
We normally suck at this.
We sit all in there.
I'm inspired by the company I keep.
Well, I don't know when people will hear this podcast because tomorrow, they kind of stay there.
Oh, it's up tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's why we do no links anymore. So it's going to be next weekend.
June 19th through the 21st. At the Charlotte Convention Center, Uptown Charlotte.
Yeah. So, and they can get tickets by going to Heroes Con.
Why don't you just link that?
It's in the show notes. It's in the show notes.
Well, so close. Let me help you with HeroesOnline.com.
HeroesOnline.com is our website. And you can get all kinds of info. There are links to ticket sites and all that stuff.
And you do a costume contest on there because a lot of our geeks go out there. Yeah.
Well, cosplay is a huge part of all comic and media and genre conventions now. No matter what kind of convention it is, you're going to have cosplayers.
Right. In spite of what certain comic book artists think, cosplayers need to be there.
Everybody's got an opinion. But I think cosplay and you know, the movies and the TV shows that people discover before they find comic books are just an opportunity for us comic book retailers and people in the industry to make new customers.
Yeah.
It's our job to show them where the stuff came from and where the good stuff is.
Yeah, I always give people a lot of crap if they're into the Sparkly Vampire series, but really it's a gateway drug, and we'll show them the way.
Yeah, there's better stuff. Absolutely.
Get away from that street stuff. Let me show you the good stuff. Free taste the first time.
I used to be really sensitive about Big Bang Theory. You know, it's like, it doesn't really show comic book collectors in the best light, you know? And with my name being Shelton, right. I got a lot of parallels there. And but I started realizing that a lot of people watch that sitcom that have no concept of what comics and science fiction genre is, you know. And it's like, all right, if they're gonna laugh at it and go check it out
right.
and find something they like, then we got them. So, yeah, bring it on.
Stan Lee's been on there, too. Well, so.
And if nothing else, it's teaching.
Stan Lee's been on there, too.
Stan Lee's been on there. And, I mean, and their references to comics are usually pretty right on. That's what I really hate about TV shows and movies is when they miss the real facts, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
As somebody who's not a comic book reader, I would say, like, it is certain Big Bang Theory has made me more interested in kind of the world and stuff. And, you know, Matt can attest to this, that I ask questions all the time. Yeah. I'm going to take that step into the store one day.
Come on in.
It's coming. Eventually.
You have to go see his store because he has amazing artwork.
I walk past it all the time to
go
to Crisp and it's
really?
A great looking store.
You haven't been in yet?
No. Yeah, well,
but
I'm
now
only, like,
will.
Just trying to make it sure
go I stand got, in the corner again.
I've got to say this because Sheldon, he will never say this ever. But my kids, I have two daughters. I forced them into getting into comic books. So it was really hard until your new store, and Shelton and the people that he hires in that store are so kid-friendly, and it is the exact opposite of what most comic book retailers are like, where you ask them a question and they'll look at you like you're an asshole.
You don't know the answer to that yet?
Yeah. How do you not know that?
It's like the Jack Black comic book.
Well, exactly. I mean, it's comic book guy from The Simpsons. Oh, yeah. But from day one with Sheldon, with everybody else at Heroes, you walk in there, and if you have a question, and it is it's not your standard, like, hey, who do you think is going to win in a fight? Like, they will answer your question no problem at all. It could be the most basic thing in the world. They just want you to enjoy your experience in the comic books, and that is such a testament to you.
Well, thank you.
And my kids would never be into the superhero genre as much as they are if it weren't for you and your staff. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you for saying that.
And who will take one of those kittens you were trying to get rid of before?
Yeah, I took my kittens to the vet today for their first round of shots. They're 7 weeks old.
Right.
We rescued a cat. And
yes, and he tried to give us some kittens at Comic-Con, and I said, no.
So we thought we had three boys and two girls, and our girls were named Maura and Lulu.
Oh.
Turns out they're boys too. We have five boy cats in this litter.
Oh my goodness.
So now we have Lewis and Big Mo because.
Big Mo!
That was a good one. But anyway, we weren't here to talk about cats. But
no, that's okay.
We
talk about lots of stuff. We will be talking about dancing later because that's how I roll.
Like Sean was saying, you know, when new people come into the store, we try to find out what they're into. Outside of comics, you know, what TV shows do you watch? What movies do you like? What are you into? Because the comic book market is so diverse that if we can get into their likes and dislikes, we can probably find something they like.
All right.
I'm definitely coming in now.
Tiffany, what shows and stuff do you like? She loves Henry Cavill.
Okay, well, that's, yeah. That's
she funny. Likes tennis.
I like Wes Anderson movies and David Fincher movies and I like Hannibal on TV. I like True Detectives. I like the all of the Aaron Sorkin stuff when it's been on TV.
Okay.
And you've been watching some Game of Thrones, right?
Game of Thrones. I watch Game of Thrones.
Comic books about half of that stuff.
There is, but I would go. I would go with Why the Last Man.
Okay.
That's a good gateway drug. Why the Last Man?
Okay. I'll write that down.
It's finite too. I mean,
yeah, it ends. So that's good too.
Yeah, it's always a good thing with comic books if you find one that actually has an ending.
It's kind of like the new norm, though. You know, I mean, a creator comes up with a concept; they usually have an end to it. I mean,
limited run series.
These top flight creators don't want to do the same thing for the rest of their lives. Yeah, so it's like here's 100 issues of Why the Last Man, and we're done.
That's pretty cool.
True Detective, you might try Southern Bastards.
Yeah, that's a good one.
It's locally produced and something special, we think.
And because you like things that are precious, like Wes Anderson movies, because, I mean, he's so, you know, everything's so small and very...
whimsical.
Right. Some of those Chris Ware books.
Yeah.
That would work for you, too, because it's such neat packaging, and you just want to look at it, like... I keep it out on my coffee table just because it's something where people are like, what is this awesome thing? So I would say
oh, very
too.
Cool.
Sean Keenan's appearance is sponsored by Heroes Art.
That's one thing we do in the store is if there are customers in the store that we know, we'll just like hand a new customer off, you know? Yeah, tell them what you like, you know? And
right.
If customers aren't in a hurry, 9 times out of 10, they'll spend 30 minutes to an hour talking about what they like.
Right. And I gotta say, because it is going to be your favorite TV show next year.
Yeah.
Read all of Preacher. It finishes. Oh, there's like 60 issues Preacher. Of it. It is my Preacher. Absolute favorite of all time comic book. Not even close. A number one. And they start, and the TV series starts next year on AMC, and it is going to be a monster.
Yeah.
It is going to be the most popular TV show on a network. I promise you. That and Walking Dead, it'll be like back and forth with what's going to be the
and
biggest.
And maybe Outcast.
And maybe Outcast, but probably not. But maybe.
a good creative team.
This episode of Guardians of the Galaxy is not sponsored by Outcast.
I worked on the pilot for Outcast, and it's a really good show.
Sherry Lambeth worked on that too, right?
Sure.
She did like logistics or something.
Oh, I see. And it's a very good show. The pilot was terrific. It just, you can, like, there's, and maybe it's going to be one of those shows where, sort of like with Supernatural, where you're like, that show's been on for 9 years? You know?
I can't believe how long that show's been on.
Like, it just keeps going. Keeps going because it's good. You know? It's not something where people are like, this is my favorite show on TV, but it's something where you're like, hey, that's pretty good. Like, I do like that show. And hopefully that's where Outcast can fit, because it's not gonna catch into the zeitgeist like Walking Dead. I mean, it just won't. But it's very good, and hopefully it'll be here forever, and I will become a millionaire. Hopefully,
this is the newest thing with comics going to TV is the episodes are how it works. You know, with comic books it builds and. They introduce subplots, and you'll see it later. And you know, it's just made for episodes. Movies usually try to overdo it. You know?
Yeah.
It's like you don't need all this stuff in one 90-minute movie. Concentrate on the good part,
right?
And don't confuse me with all this other stuff.
Well, too many villains and those type of things.
But with you know, a weekly show or a whole season like Daredevil that they just put up, I mean. That's the way you read comic books. That's the way they ought to be.
I mean, Sheldon, did you ever think that we would live in a time where the night nurse is on a television show? I never, ever thought that would happen.
Rosario Dawson.
I know. And it's Rosario Dawson. Come on. What's wrong with that? Nothing.
Nothing is wrong with that.
Did you guys watch Daredevil at all?
We have 5 episodes left. Now that Con Caroline is over,
and you can concentrate on something other than Orphan Black.
So I agreed to be on an Orphan Black panel last year, and I was 9 episodes behind, and I found out I was the moderator for the Orphan Black panel.
Oh no!
So I binge watched 9 episodes, but it was actually not bad. I really enjoyed Orphan Black, and I have 2 episodes in the DVR because I was like. I started to watch it, and we had to go somewhere. Oh, Sunday morning, I started to watch it before the last day of Con, and I was like, before the last day of Con Carolinas, and I was like, I know this is about to get really heavy, so I don't want to have to stop it in the middle, because I heard there was bacon at the buffet at the MC. So
there was.
Yeah,
there was. There was bacon.
That's how I had to watch Daredevil, because Daredevil drops on Netflix that Thursday night at midnight.
Yeah.
We have a podcast that we're reviewing the entire series on Sunday.
Oh, my
gosh. It was a full-time job, and I liked it. I loved it. It was an amazing show, but by the end it was like, this is far too much Daredevil because
we have to do Unicorn Chasers.
Yeah. We watched 2 episodes, and you know, once someone's head's getting split open with a car door, we have to turn on Disney Channel immediately. I mean, we've got to. It's
just, I was doing 2 episodes of Daredevil and then watching 2 episodes of The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Oh,
perfect Unicorn Chaser.
Okay, that's better.
That show has my favorite line from a sitcom ever, which is when they're walking. She's walking by that construction site, and the guy realizes he's gay as he's talking to her, and he goes, "Come on, guys, come on, guys. Big picture. Does the world really need another bank? Oh, it's so good. What are we doing here, guys?" It's so good.
Well, I have to say, the thing I like about Orphan Black, just to segue back there for a second so I can cross it off the list, is that it has its own built-in unicorn chaser. Whenever it gets too dark with... have you watched Orphan Black?
I've watched the first season.
Okay. Mini bio is woman discovers she's part of a clone thing, and there's bunches of her, but each character's different. Tatiana, who's the actress who plays it, is amazing because she actually... You truly believe that each person is different, except for Tony, Tony, the transgender, he was just not as... She didn't have that as developed a character. But the rest of them are so well developed. You really feel like they're totally different.
You really forget it's the same.
Even her body language is different. Yeah. Like,
she listens to a musical soundtrack, and I think now she's gotten to a point where she just has to listen to part of a song, and she's in that mind of that character. Like, this character listens to this kind of music, wears mm-hmm. this kind of stuff, dresses like this. But Allison, who's one of the clones, is like stepford wife on 11. And mm-hmm. whenever things get really bad, mm-hmm. her husband Donnie, you know, pulls a Pulp Fiction and accidentally shoots a guy in a car just because he's slamming his hand with the gun in it down on the steering wheel. And he goes, "Oh, crap!" You know, and the guy is Matt Frewer's all over the front, you know, dashboard. Spoiler alert.
You always say after.
Four.
You say the thing.
Somebody dies.
And I slammed my hand down. Wash died too, by the way. So, spoiler alert.
Yowza.
Mikey has a whole speech. But
Bruce Willis was dead the entire time.
The red stuff. Didn't you notice the red stuff? Now I notice every episode of anything that has red, which I realize M. Night Shyamalan doesn't influence every movie director.
Let's hope not.
But, yeah. I know. But just gonna say, which you said, did you watch? No, that wasn't you.
What?
Sorry, never mind.
This movie's really good, guys, but where's the twist ending?
Yeah. Oh, Henry would not be proud.
No.
But speaking of new shows that I watched was Stitchers. Has anybody seen that?
I don't know that show at all.
Great title.
Is that
title.
Yeah. Stitchers is a woman who has... Oh, crap, you didn't watch it, so you can't give me words.
Cancer brain.
Can't do it.
Needles? To make
no,
needles?
She, it's a... No, she has a distemper.
Your laugh scared me.
Sorry. She has a condition that makes it so that she's not aware of time. She can't tell. She can only deduce time by things around her, like logic or math or clock. But no, she truly can't. But she's got a special ability, and
if only they made clocks that you could have on your person,
like with a strap around your wrist.
Why won't Apple get on that? For God's sake!
We can sell it for $10,000.
Get on it, whoever the new Steve
write that
Jones
down.
Is.
Write an angry
portable clocks.
What network is that? It's ABC. It's ABC, and it's part of the Disney network. So we had gotten, when we got the wonderful free passes...
Everything's going to be part of the Disney network.
We will all be working for Disney.
When we got the wonderful free passes from the good folks at Disney for Tomorrowland, at the end of the movie, they handed out little packets for Stitchers, which made me intrigued enough that when it came on TV, I decided to go ahead and watch it. And it was actually really good. There are people that you would recognize from Eureka and Warehouse 13.
Oh, cool.
The girl who played Claudia mm-hmm. on Warehouse 13. And the woman who was the director, who was...
Mrs. Frederick?
No.
That director's in it.
Director at Eureka.
Oh, so
the female director.
So yes. would you recommend the show?
I would recommend the show, Stitchers. Basically, there's a certain time amount... that a brain, before it starts to decompose, you could run in and get memories. And because she has a concept of time, she actually has the ability through this electronic to jump into people's brains and see their last couple memories. She can't talk to them or ask them, but she can look around and see what's going on.
But didn't they use that for iZombie?
I haven't
only
watched.
She eats
their brains.
Yeah, the brain to get the.
So you know, it's that whole like brain consumption thing is really hot right now. You should really work on that.
I am not going to be working on eating any brains.
But if you don't want the brain eating part, try Stitchers. I like the first episode enough. I'll watch it again.
Yeah. iZombie's actually pretty good.
It's
so goofy. Yeah. It's a fun little show.
Yes, yeah. It's on the list of, you know, now that I don't have to watch Orphan Black and
you can watch something else. I am actually starting to watch Hannibal, too.
Yeah?
I resisted Hannibal for a very long time because the books just... I wanted to just kick Thomas Harris in the nads. I just did really, really hard.
Tell us how you really feel here.
Because I loved Red Dragon and I loved Silence of the Lambs, and Hannibal just ruined every character for me.
Yeah.
I hated it.
Yeah.
It's like...
It's a bad book.
It's a bad book.
It's like the lost world of... to Jurassic Park. That book is awful also. Yeah. It's not just a terrible movie. The book is bad.
The book is terrible, too. But it's like Harris just became enamored with the character of Hannibal.
Yeah.
And suddenly Hannibal was the hero. And I'm like, no, dude kills and eats people. He's not the hero.
Yeah.
He's not the good guy.
Yeah.
So I resisted the television show because it just seemed like they were glorifying the character again. And actually, they don't.
No,
he's not actually kind of creepy.
Yeah, he's super creepy.
Super creepy.
And I'm actually enjoying it. Plus,
I really like
Eddie Izzard.
I'm convinced that I've been watching too many episodes, and I'm convinced that you guys are all like linked serial killers now. Because I'm still like in that headspace, you know. So,
plus, it's got Eddie Izzard.
You can't take your work home with you.
No, yeah. You can't.
Don't do that.
And I do actually like Mads Mikkelsen as Hannibal.
He's fantastic.
Yeah, he really is great, isn't he?
Yeah.
And there's something just soups creeps about him where when you look at him, you're like, you are off.
You've got body parts you got, in your refrigerator.
Yeah, the AC's on the DC. There's something off with that guy. Yeah.
So I actually, it gets away with a lot of violence, though.
I can't believe it's on regular, like, network television.
I know, I was surprised it was on NBC, so I'm like, holy cow, that's like... That's graphic.
You know who the creator of that show is, of the Hannibal show?
Brian Fuller, right?
I couldn't believe it when I heard it was Brian Fuller.
The Pushing Daisies guy,
Pushing
right?
Daisies and Wonderfalls. I mean, like, two
I
just...
I love Wonderfalls so
you
much.
Just, you just watch both those shows like, this is adorable. And then there's Hannibal, which the most horrific things you've ever seen on TV are happening.
Speaking
on
of one of the most horrific things I've ever seen, Morris Jenkins is ruined for me.
Ah! Come on. And you know, the funny part is that I know JR. He's the guy who plays Bobby on it. And so we were working on a commercial. As a matter of fact, I just saw him last week because he worked on the thing we worked on. Mm-hmm. But I the first time I saw him after those commercials started airing, we're eating lunch together, and I was like, so tell me the truth, that old man touching you in that van? And he goes, actually, he's the nicest guy in the world, man. I know, he's the nicest guy in the world. But I defy you to watch those commercials.
For those of you not local to Charlotte, North Carolina, Morris Jenkins is a heating and air conditioning, and they're doing a series of commercials with
the actual owner of Morris Jenkins.
In the van late at night with a young buff guy.
That's right.
He's like, hey, Mr. Morris. And
got me candy.
And Sean put him into a sketch on Robot Johnson.
That's what everybody was thinking.
Who had to go watch the commercials to find out what you were talking about. And said he has been scarred for life on this very podcast, by the way. Almost as scarred as Field will be once you take Creepy Cindy home and show up at rehearsal with her. So, it's coming, Field.
Something's going to get that guy.
Yeah.
Low-flying plane, creepy doll, clown at a kid's party, something's going to happen.
Robo-Field.
Yeah, Robo-Field. Something's going to get him.
Speaking of being gotten, Game of Thrones...
You are the segue queen, lady. That's how the pros do it right there.
So has anyone watched Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
Has everybody caught up?
No, we're not going to be.
That's how you slow roast a kid, am I right?
No.
That's how you do it.
That was crazy.
Father of the year. And it's a spoiler alert.
As soon as Davos went away, that something bad happened.
Yeah, I knew the second he sent Davos away, I'm like, that little girl's toast. Literally. Yeah, roast a 10-year-old.
Rotisserie?
Yeah. Well, they lit her on fire.
Essentially.
For why?
To appease a god.
Yeah,
They're trying to
what
to
choice do
out,
you have?
And she's got royal blood. So, Stannis Baratheon, one of the people vying for the Iron Throne, just basically torched his daughter to win a battle. It's a very unpleasant scene.
How are your kids doing there, Shelton?
It's actually very interesting because this is the first time the show has actually spoiled the books. Because this has not happened in the books yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's supposed to happen in the next book, The Winds of Winter. So this is the first time the television show jumped past the
book. Hence all the outrage because
exactly.
There are people who have...
Yeah. Who? Well, there was a lot of people that stopped watching after the character Sansa got married a couple episodes ago. And that doesn't actually happen in the book. So there's a lot of people...
The rape doesn't happen?
No. She actually doesn't marry Ramsay in the book.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's like an imposter, right?
Yeah, it's a totally different character in the book. And it's actually more horrific in the book. So, seriously, they tamed it for the show and for this character.
So there was a lot of people that stopped watching at that point, which I thought was kind of silly. I'm not certain what they expected to happen after the arranged marriage.
Yeah, really. He's like a—he's a psychopath.
He's
like,
a psychopath. What are you going
to
do?
Do you think he's going to make love tenderly to her?
Yeah, no. But this past episode,
I think that'd be creepier.
No,
actually,
that would be. You're right. Okay.
That would be far creepier.
But this past episode, a lot of people are outraged because, you know, well, they killed a 10-year-old, but. This is a television show that in the very first episode pushed an 8-year-old out of a...
Yeah. I know. Her brother and sister were fucking.
Right. Because yeah. He got two brothers, you know, the Lannisters fucking. So it's like, yeah, I don't know what you expect from Game of Thrones, but yeah, you're not going to get happy, happy, joy, joy. And I knew when they introduced Shireen and she was so sweet and she was just...
And they keep having these nice father-daughter moments. I'm something bad's going to happen.
Oh, God, you're just too nice for this world. Westeros is going to kill you, and it did. So, yeah, but I thought it was very interesting that that was the first time that the books were spoiled by the television show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, they jump from that horrific scene to Dany jumping on a dragon and flying away, which is, like, really empowering.
But, I mean, to me, first of all, I hate a dragon. Man, if I see a dragon, it's something like, I'm out. And I don't know what it is
like
about
when she breathed in her face then, huh?
It looks so ridiculous. It's so ridiculous to me, and I know that half of your audience just shut down. But I don't know what it is about dragons specifically, but didn't that remind you of Neverending Story?
It did.
Totally and utterly.
It did. Not only Neverending Story, but How to Train Your Dragon. She just climbed on Toothless. So, yeah, it was...
We'll be roasted later.
It was a little Dragon Riders of Pern for me. It was just too too fantasy. Uh-huh. I like her dragons. And I knew eventually someone was going to climb on them.
He saved the day,
them.
That's for sure.
Well, that's adorable. That's adorable.
We'll put a link on the show.
A little mini
gray. Yeah, there'll be a link in the show notes.
Oh, yes.
Well, guys, Joey will put a link in the show notes with that picture.
Thank you. So, curse you with a curse of Satan. So, as usual with Game of Thrones, that's the second to the last episode of the season, and they usually do something big in the second to the last episode of the season.
If you've been warned, folks, you should know by now.
Yeah, so the next episode we get Cersei.
We will talk about this in length next week.
Yeah. Yes.
So you're still watching, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah. I'm still... Nice. There's so many things that go on
in
Game of Thrones that it's like, yeah, you can't phase me anymore. You really can't phase me anymore.
Yeah. So, speaking of things that don't phase you because it doesn't excite you as much as it excites me, can dance.
This is why you have a podcast, isn't it? So that you can talk about,
dancing shows.
There's no love in this room for me. So You Think You Can Dance is back. A second episode of Audition Rounds was last night. They've changed up the format. They did have Mary on there with the hot tamale train. They've taken her off and replaced her with Paula Abdul.
What?
Yes.
Mary's not on there anymore?
Mary's not on there anymore. And but Paula's holding it together. So far, she hasn't been too crazy, although she was wearing an apron dress the other night. Go ahead, Shelton. You're so mean. I've had love in my heart for you, but now you too, curse of the devil.
It was so well played.
I know. Apron dress. I couldn't believe that.
Actually, I have to watch that show because my wife does.
So you know. So they've split it up now, and now it's going to be the stage against the street. So I'm just feeling like it's Electric Boogaloo too. You know, it's like the street dancers are going to go up against the trained stage dancers. And who is going to win? It will be an epic battle of Mortal Kombat.
Can't wait to hear about it.
But you won't watch. But anyway, so I'm happy. Moving right along. StormCon. That was all. Hey, you know, I can tell where my audience is and isn't. It's not this round.
Are we moving on to the con reports?
Let's talk about the con reports. So, Con Carolina's just ended.
Yes. Successful year. I think a successful year. New venue. Larger venue.
We love the embassy suites
in Concord.
They were lovely. Beautiful. And they have bacon on the buffet.
Yes.
And we don't want to go back to the old venue.
No, we don't.
Just want to mention that in case anybody listening wants to know.
We don't want to. Jada.
Don't make us.
We love you, Jada. Don't make us go back to the old venue. Thanks.
Don't.
please.
So where's the new venue?
It's the Embassy Suites in Concord.
Is it downtown or?
No, it's actually next to the Speedway.
Okay.
Yeah, it's very close to the
Concord Mills Mall, which is 5 miles from this New Geek Gala headquarters, which we didn't even mention.
Oh, yeah, we're in
the New are recording in the New Geek Gala headquarters.
Anyway, but yes, a successful year. I was very happy.
It's very big. You might like
I was
it.
There last year, and it was really crowded, so I guess you needed a new venue.
Yeah, we did. Oh, of course, last year we had George R.R. Martin, which...
Who's that? I'm kidding. I'm not kidding.
He is the Stan Lee.
What's that second R
of,
for?
Yeah. I don't know. Well, it's like J.R.R. It's like, do you have two middle names like he did, I guess?
That's like a British thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
With a letter from him, early Fantastic Four. All those guys used to write into the comics and tell them what was wrong with the stories.
So does his letter consist of you're not killing enough people? You need to torch some little girls.
And then after that, we have StormCon, which is a gaming con down in Charleston, South Carolina, and we will be doing a mini podcast break from there. Woo-hoo. Very exciting stuff. It's the last weekend in... June. That would be the month that we're in. Uh-huh. It's StormCon, but it's like Storm-Con.
The end of times. It's the last weekend.
But that's down in the lovely Charleston, South Carolina. So for our Charleston geeks that are part of the podcast, we look forward to seeing to you. Bella, where Sean Keenan will be hopefully performing with Robot Johnson.
I hope so, too.
Or a representation thereof.
Yes, sir, ma'am.
And, Shelton has been a great sponsor of the Geek Gala for the past couple years and has donated some very nice stuff, or his staff has without telling you, but...
I heard about it.
But we will be at StormCon and we'll be interviewing Christine Brunson, who writes the comic Undead Norm. Do you carry that in your store?
Probably.
Yeah.
He's got everything.
I know, you really do. So I'd be surprised
that's just
if you don't.
You two on the podcast.
It really is hard to keep up with everything.
Well, you guys can come down and play games with us. We'll be playing Red Dragon Inn.
I didn't know anything.
But it has drawn it, so Sean won't play it with it.
Never!
Left off the podcast here.
I know, I'm being like looped out of the thing because I'm not geeky enough.
And I'm too geeky.
Like, so you can dance.
The punishment fits the crime.
This is because I don't have a decal for So You Think You Can Dance on my car, isn't it?
It is. It is, actually.
Or dance.
Or that neither
stars.
One of you showed up to help us move. So, oh, wait, you did. Crap. Oh. That almost worked. All right, let's wrap this up so I can get out of trouble.
We actually went through an entire discussion about Daredevil, and we did not mention that the Punisher is showing up in season 2.
Oh, just hit the internet like crazy before this.
He was cast today, right? Or yesterday or something.
Yeah.
So Shane from Walking Dead is going to be the Punisher in season 2. I don't know. I kind of like that. It's got to be better than all the Punisher movies that they've.
Oh, it's going to be better than Punisher movies.
Because the Punisher movies suck.
Except for the Dolph Lundgren one, which is off. No, I'm kidding.
That's the gold standard, really, in the Punisher movie.
I don't know how you feel about it, how you feel about it, but the Punisher should never have his own movie, should never have his own TV show. He should barely have his own comic book. I think that he's an amazing character to bring in because he's basically the guy where when you see him, you're like, holy shit, everyone's gonna die. And that's perfect. But if you have him be the main character in anything, it's like, well, everyone's gonna die, and where's the suspense in that? Like, you already know that. And you get a great writer like a Garth Ennis or somebody on it, and of course it's gonna be great. But after that, where do you go? Where do you go with that character?
So this may work since he's a supporting character.
I think it's totally and utterly going to work on Daredevil. I think the problem... Well, actually, the folks at Marvel get a complete pass because everything they've done so far has been... Well, not everything, but damn close to everything has been pretty amazing.
What wasn't?
I didn't like Iron Man 2.
Yeah, I didn't like Iron Man 2 either.
Yeah, it wasn't that great.
No. It wasn't that great, but it was better than Ang Lee's Hulk.
Yeah.
It built some stuff.
Yeah, it did. So.
It was better than Ang Lee's Hulk.
Oh, yes, without a doubt.
It was entertaining, was it? I have to run out and buy a copy tomorrow now.
Right, but I think Punisher on Daredevil is going to get people wanting more Punisher. And I think that's a mistake. I think you keep the Fonz away from the Cunningham's attic. you keep him away from jumping sharks. You bring him in periodically. You
don't, yeah, that's when the show went down, when he went back to school.
Yeah, I mean, all of that.
Sure. So didn't Punisher start off in Amazing Spider-Man?
Was first it? Appearance first of Spidey, 129.
129. Oh, so close to 121, right?
That was a good run through there.
Yeah. Man, you're not kidding.
Sure, classic stuff. Man.
Dang, Punisher's that old?
Oh, yeah.
He came out in 73 or 4.
Damn. Well, originally he was from Vietnam. He's a Vietnam veteran, yeah. Correct? Or yeah. Yeah, and I think the Thomas Jane, they retconned it to Persian Gulf, the first one maybe even, or something like that. It changed his origin.
So let me ask you.
You know, the best Punisher artist is one of our guests at Heroes Con. Segway Queen.
There you go.
Go for it, Jill. Go for it.
Mike Zeck kind of defined the Punisher in the Marvel Universe, and he's our special guest at the show this year.
Awesome.
We've got a variant cover by him for Secret Wars 1. And also a variant cover for his artist edition book, which features some of his best stories in their original size and black and white format. They shoot right from the originals. It's like a book of original art.
Wow.
And we've got a variant for
that,
too.
What else do you have here? You have stuff.
I'm glad you asked. This is our variant for Spider-Gwen number 5, which hits newsstands tomorrow.
I have 1 through 3. Four?
Yeah.
Yep. Well, this is brand new. It'll be out tomorrow. And then this is a variant for the con done by Babs Tarr, who is another guest at the show. She currently does the Batgirl book over at DC. So we kind of like did a little mashup.
Very good idea.
And brought her over here.
So, beautiful.
The entire creative team, including the cover artist, will be at the show.
Look at that. It's got the banner in the background, the whole nine yards. It really does.
I think that's actually new look really for nice. Batgirl. Where they have her, you know, like in, like not in, not tarted up, you know, she looks like a regular kid.
Yeah.
I like that too.
I actually really like that.
There's kind of a movement right now for the female characters to be very realistic.
Yeah.
Not so
fantastic. There should be.
Maybe.
Do you find that you
I
have
think
more?
It's because, I mean, the population reading comics is nearing equality, you know? I mean, it used to be 90%.
Yeah,
guys.
I remember.
And now it's more like maybe 60% guys. So, I mean, you know.
Yeah, a lot of us geeky girls like the comics.
Well, sure. And
I used to read my brothers, and then my mom got religious, and we got the Christian ones. They were not as fun. So.
Hello, my name is Johnny Cash. That's my favorite Spire comic.
No, I got the one that was like Chuck Colson. You know, when he went to prison and came back out and found God, and those were mine.
That sounds like it sucks.
God,
sorry, Mom. Oh wait, she turned it off when we swore. Anyway, we did swear at the beginning, didn't we?
Yeah,
fuck
we did.
Shit, damn. Okay, yeah. Covered.
Yeah.
So what else you got? You got some church looking thing over here.
This is just our neighborhood newsletter that. The guy was handing out as I left the one I had.
Oh.
And I made sure it looked good and the date was right.
What's happening in the neighborhood?
That's right.
Cool.
Perfect.
Do we have everything covered?
I think we've got all covered.
Anybody didn't get to say something that they were dying to say? We have a studio audience today. Say hi, Lindsay.
Hello.
Yay!
Thank you, Lindsay.
A studio audience of one.
Woo!
It's kind of like Con Carolina's where we had a studio audience.
No, we went from like 6 to 1 to 6. Yeah.
So poor, was it Bob or was it Valentine?
No, Bob, because people came because of the wrapping. But anyway.
Okay. It was Valentine. Well, but only had the one.
Yeah, but it was a good one.
It was a good one.
Yeah.
And there were two people, so it kind of made up for it.
Yeah, it evened out. All right, so check out Heroes Con next weekend, and check out Robot Johnson the end of the month.
That's right, the 26th and 27th.
I guess you're really disappointing me, because this is the second time I haven't gotten to go.
It's at Upstage in on North Davidson.
Oh yeah,
in Charlotte.
Parking's a bear, but it's worth it.
Yep.
Just Uber it. It's cheaper to Uber now than it is to pay for parking over there. Like makes it so much easier.
Yeah. Speaking of Uber, they're doing a thing for HeroesCon. There's going to be a code. I guess we'll have it on our website next week. Where you
nice
$20 off if you hadn't. Ubered before.
Nice.
They'll bring you to the con or take you home from the con or whatever.
Nice.
That's perfect. Okay. Yeah. Especially after the con parties.
Yeah. Because the parking is kind of a bear where we are now.
Parking's
well.
A bear everywhere.
It is.
It really
is. It really is.
Yeah.
Maybe they could do that for the Geek Gala, too. You never know. Speaking of the Geek Gala, thanks to everybody who contributed. Ian and Steven and who's our third podcaster?
Patrick.
We look forward to having you on the podcast. Thanks for buying the Indiegogo perk. Thanks.
Did anyone buy the Con Carolinas perks?
Yes, we had one.
Well, good.
Yes, but there's still two more days this comes out tomorrow. It'll be two more days.
Buy it. Get your own seat, front row, main programming, all weekend.
You never have to stand in line.
It'll be yours just for you. No, I promise we won't torch any kids for you.
It will give you weenies. I know, right?
That's a different perk.
Almost, yeah, almost no kids burned.
Burned for this round. Yeah. Almost.
3 days since our last burning of children. So we're still pretty good at the work site.
Our bloodlust is satiated. Your kids are fine.
Flame gods appeased.
So I think that about wraps it up for episode 21.
Yes. Thank you, everybody. Let's Matt Starnford.
Joey the Giddy Eaker.
Carol the Cat.
Whatever my name is. Bye.
And Sean. And Shelton.
Thank you. Thanks and Lindsay.
Thanks for having us on.
And Lindsay. Woo.
See you here, Heroes Con.
There you go. Yeah. I think that just got in. Yeah. Did it.